Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 102.
Seats, visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant at arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. Today's prayer will be offered by Representative Ward. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Ward, the gentleman has the floor.
Let us pray. Most gracious and wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and upon our great state. The Lord, as we move into taking care of the people's business, we ask that you give us discernment, understanding, and wisdom. We ask that you be with all of us as we make the decisions that we have to make on this floor, and that those decisions will be honorable to you and grateful in your sight. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic in which it stands, one nation under God.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 21st has been examined and found to be correct. I move it be approved as written.
Representative Bell moves that the journal for October 21st be approved as written. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Members, Representative John Lowry's appointment proclamation was officially read Monday, and he subscribed to the oath of office on October 17th. The gentleman from Robinson County will occupy seat 88. Senate will be notified of the seating by special message. Chair is going to appoint the following members as an escort committee, Representative Brendan Jones, chair, and Representative Reeves. Those members may now repair to the rear of the chamber to escort Representative Lowry to his seat. Ratifications of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Enroll bills, October 22nd, 2025. The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 449, an act to implement additional budgetary judgments and to make other changes.
Members, we're going to go into our calendar momentarily. I believe the Rules Chair and Majority Leader has consulted with the Minority Leader, and after we take up the Realigned Congressional District 2025, Senate Bill 249, we will adjourn for no more than an hour for the Rules Committee to meet to take up two or three other bills that the Chair's talked to the Minority Leader about, and I think the Rules Chair is doing that as well to give everyone a heads up on those, and then we'll come back in for what should be a very quick session after the Rules Committee meets, and we will have sessions quickly as possible after that. But part of the delay is just it takes some time for staff to be able to read a bill in that comes from Rules. So again, we'll do Senate Bill 249 now. When we're done with that, we will then go into recess for probably an hour to have Rules and get those bills that are coming from Rules read in, and then we'll come back into session and have, again, what the chair expects to be a very quick session. With that said, Mr. Clerk, Senate Bill 249. Clerk will read.
Senators Alexander, Daniel, and Gailey, Senate Bill 249, a bill to be entitled Realign Congressional Districts 2025, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, today you will see a transparent and accountable process, one that is both constitutional and fundamental to representative government, congressional redistricting. We're here today because California and the radical left launched a full-fledged, coordinated attack, not only on...
One second, Representative Jones.
All right.
The chair should have addressed this before. The chair understands that folks are here in the gallery today, and they've got an opinion on certain bills that are being heard. But if you're in the gallery, you can't make noise, you can't clap, you can't celebrate. There are 120 members of this body elected. They each represent 90,000 people. As I often say, when you try to shout over them or make noise, you're not muffling them out. You're muffling out the 90,000 people who they represent. So with that said, if you can stay in here and be and stay silent and listen to the debate, people on both sides are going to debate it, then you can stay in here. If not, the chair will just simply clear the gallery. Chair doesn't want to do that. I don't think I've had to do that all session long, but again, it's up to you. So please remain silent during the debate. Representative Jones, the gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Once again, we're here today because California and the radical left launched a full-fledged coordinated attack, not only on North Carolina, but the integrity of democracy itself. And I've got bad news for Gavin Newsom and the radical left. North Carolina will not stand by while they try to undermine the will of our voters and stack the decks in Washington. Sadly, this isn't new. Just look around the country. In Massachusetts, New Mexico, and Connecticut, Republicans hold zero congressional seats due to Democrat congressional map gerrymanders. It's the same playbook over and over. Well, enough is enough. We have been called to fight back, and that's exactly what this body intends to do. The motivation behind this new redistricting plan is straightforward. The new congressional map improves Republican political strength in eastern North Carolina and will bring an additional Republican seat to North Carolina's congressional delegation. Let's talk about the process by which we did this. As I mentioned in committee yesterday, the House worked with consultant Blake Springetti. He's from Ohio. From day one, we established clear written standards for how this map would be drawn. We instructed our consultant to follow these guidelines exactly. I'm going to share those with you for those who were not in committee. Number one, data identifying the race of individuals or voters shall not be used in the construction or consideration of districts in the 2025 congressional plan. Draw Congressional District 1, known as CD1, to increase the Republican vote share of CD1 in the 2023 congressional plan codified by Senate Bill 757 on October 25, 2023. Unless otherwise directed, you may consider any of the election results referenced in number 8 below, but you may only adjust the boundaries of CD1 and Congressional District 3, known as CD3. Number 3. Draw congressional districts to comply with federal standards for equal population. Number 4, draw congressional districts that are contiguous. Contiguity by a point is not permitted, but by water is permissible. Number 5, to the extent feasible, draw districts that are visually reasonably compact. No mathematical tests are required. Number 6, take reasonable measures to draw districts that represent and follow contiguous municipal boundaries. Number 7, take reasonable measures to draw districts that do not split VTDs. Number 8, political data should be considered. You may use any election or political data that is loaded onto a computer provided by the North Carolina General Assembly. Number 9, an incumbent state member's knowledge of communities of interest may be considered. Number 10, all work to be completed at the legislative complex here in Raleigh on equipment provided by the General Assembly. The election contest data in the stack pack for Senate Bill 249, and that data will also be available on the House Select Committee of Redistricting's website, was considered in the creation of the plan. But the primary focus on this election contest data from 2024 presidential race. our consultant followed our instructions. And the result is a process that has been transparent, has been lawful, and accountable to the people of this state. Again, let me emphasize, racial data was not used in the creation of this map. While we considered several variations of the congressional plan with our consultants, ultimately we decided to proceed with the map put forward by Senator Ralph Heiss, whose members of this General Assembly have heard speak multiple times regarding the details of that map. While our consultant offered input to members regarding the plan, the map before you is the map that was drawn by Senator Heiss. To briefly summarize the plan before you, the new map makes no changes to 12 of the 14 districts. Only the districts that are changed in the new map are NC1 and NC3. As I stated previously, the motivation behind this plan is straightforward. It moves NC1 from a district where President Trump earned 51% of the vote in 2024 to 55% of the vote, an increase of 4 points. The end result is a congressional map that should perform to elect 11 Republicans. Not only does the new congressional map better improve Republican political strength in eastern North Carolina, the new map adheres to traditional redistricting principles and is more compact than the current map by Roddick and Posley Poplar measures of compactness. Now I know what's coming next. The same national organizations that are talking heads who praise the blue state maps will continue attacking ours, not because of the process, but because of the outcome. But the people of North Carolina didn't elect us to surrender our responsibilities. They elected us to lead. So to the national left, I'm sorry your favorite governor in Sacramento miscalculated. Proposition 50 has backfired. Republican-led states are here to make sure that one man does not predetermine the controls of Congress. North Carolina will not be lectured, will not be bullied, and will not be sued into submission. We will not let outsiders tell us how to govern, and we will never apologize for doing exactly what the people of this state has elected us to do. We did our job transparently, lawfully, and unapologetically. And if that offends the left, so be it. Because what we're defending here today is not just a map. It's the principle that stops the deck from being stacked against us. It's the principle that our delegation in Congress will advocate for the true beliefs of North Carolinians. And it is a fact that we will send one more Republican to Congress from this great state. You can be mad about redistricting all you want to, but you need to look in the mirror and ask yourself what got us here. And I think then you'll begin to realize just how bad the left messed up. So thanks for poking that bear, giving us the playbook. And for that, we will be sending another strong conservative to Washington to represent this great state. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wilson, Representative Pittman, arise.
Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, in my region of eastern North Carolina, we know how to work together. We work together to bring economic development and good jobs, to support our community schools, and to step in to help our neighbors. What helps us to do that is by focusing on our community and its people, not being thrust in the middle of a national partisan power grab. Wilson County is a competitive county, and the first congressional district is a competitive district. I know this because Congressman Davis won the first congressional district and President Trump won the first congressional district. I won North Carolina House District 24 and President Trump won North Carolina House District 24. What I can tell you is when you are in a 50-50 district, you don't waste your time figuring out who is in what political party. You work together to move your community forward, and we need more of that in politics. But here we are. What started as a political power play in Texas has turned into a national redistricting war, and my home and my people have been dragged into the middle of it. This action is further dividing a deeply divided nation, but more acutely, it unnecessarily divides communities. when we should be focusing on lowering costs and expanding economic opportunities in North Carolina. My hometown is not just a place on a map to be conquered. It is a community that is home to good people that must deal with the divisions drawn by power-hungry politicians who attempt to tell us who our voice in Washington is going to be. This map weaponizes my community. I oppose it and I resent it.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Halifax, Representative Pierce, rise.
To speak to the bill.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, I understand that this debate will be framed in a lot of different ways about maps, numbers, and lines on a page. But to me and to the people of House District 27, this is about something much deeper, about the soul and the shared destiny of Eastern North Carolina. This bill redraws Congressional District 1 in a way that doesn't just shift boundaries. It fractures communities. It pulls together counties that have little in common in geography, economy, and daily life. It ties our inland agricultural communities, where families are working generations deep in the soil, to coastal areas driven by tourism, property, and development. These are different economies, different priorities, different needs. When you do that, you dilute the voice of people who have long toiled together toward a common good. Working people, small farmers, and those in rural communities who have already been struggling to be heard. As we approach America's 250th anniversary, our semi-quincentennial, and District 27 is home to the Halifax Resolves. I can't help but think about the people who contributed to the revolutionary cause. Men and women, white, black, indigenous, Asian, and Hispanic. They fought for a shared cause, liberty and justice, a vision of one nation united for the common good. Yet today, instead of working together on that shared purpose, instead of passing a budget to fund our public schools, strengthen public health, and keep our communities safe, we are fighting over maps that divide us even more. While families are struggling, we are playing politics with people's lives. Folks don't know what's coming next. Federal workers don't know if they'll get paid. Teachers and state employees don't know if a raise will even matter once their insurance premiums go up. County commissioners don't know if the federal government is going to come through. And all the while, we're told that certain programs are being targeted as if they only help certain people. So I ask, who are you serving? The people back home who sent you here? Or someone else's agenda? Because it seems to me that while you refuse to compromise on a budget, on a fair budget, you have no problem rushing to grab power. We don't have to say it because people already see it. They know what's happening. Our duty as members of this General Assembly is to the people of North Carolina. All of them. Let's stop dividing them and let's start delivering for them.
What purpose? The gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, rise.
Speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Early this morning, members, I awakened thinking about the public comments yesterday. So I turned to my source of solace and read, "But the tongue can no man tame. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessings and cursings. Yesterday, I was told what I should not do. I was told what my motives are. None of those who called my cell phone and left hateful and vulgar messages asked me what my motives were. They just told me over and over again how right they were and how much they hated Donald Trump. I respect and sustain their right to say that, but I'm left to observe how some folks who demand tolerance do it so intolerantly. I will now exercise my elected responsibility to speak for myself. I love President Trump, and I sustain him as the leader of our nation. I support and sustain him as the current leader of the Republican Party. In my opinion, he's the greatest president of my lifetime. He's not my king, and I don't think he wants to be your king. I've witnessed divine intervention in preserving his life. He is a divinely changed man who loves this nation. I support the constitutional authority of this legislature to legally redraw our congressional districts. I would implore us to remember this sage advice. Anger never persuades. Hostility never heals. Contention never leads to lasting solutions. Please support this legal proposal to help North Carolina help President Donald Trump make America great again. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose did Lady Pitt, Representative Brown, arise?
To debate the bill.
He's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Okay. I rise today to speak to you on behalf of my community. Although I represent the northern half of Pitt County, my community extends beyond the line of my district. And I too know the feeling of being pulled from one district to another because I was in District 1, Pitt County was. And then we got pulled into District 3, not having any input, not knowing what was going on. And we still have citizens still not realizing what district they're in. I was born and raised in Martin County, started my family in Bethel, and my grandbabies live in Lenore. Eastern North Carolina is my home, but I did not have a seat at the table. Myself and my Democratic colleagues have been left out of the discussion and the drawing of these maps. Our constituents and our communities did not have a say in the process. In the past 6 days, my office has fielded many emails and phone calls from not just my constituents, but people all over the state, extremely frustrated with the legislature. I would be remiss if I did not relay their concerns, which are, why are we redrawing these maps again? How far are you willing to go to bend the knee to this administration? Are you listening to the concerns of your constituents? Why are we focused on unnecessarily redrawing congressional maps mid-decade instead of passing a budget for our state? Why are we not having public hearings in the communities that will be impacted by this legislation? These are the questions that we may never get answers for. It often feels like we are yelling into the abyss while this body continues to pass harmful, unpopular, and dangerous legislations like this, despite the overwhelming evidence that this is not what our constituents want. You claim that racial data was not used. You didn't need to use racial data because every single member of this body knows about the black population in the northeastern part of this state. Yesterday in the redistricting committee, an Air Force veteran said, you don't need to use racial data to see racial impact. Redrawing districts 1 and 3 is purposefully dilutions of black votes. North Carolina is the testing ground for the new era of Jim Crow laws, going after souls to the polls, restricting early voting dates, hours and locations, and now breaking up the black belt that has been electing black Democrats for 3 decades now. You are silencing black voices and are going against the will of your constituents. We will remember. And in closing, I'd like to leave this with you. Proverbs 11:21. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished, but the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Thank you.
What purpose? The sergeant-at-arms will clear the gallery of the folks who have self-selected for themselves to be removed, who believe their voices are more important than everyone else's. We'll put you down as a maybe. For what purpose, the gentleman from Granville, Representative Cone, rise?
Debate the bill, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Mr. Speaker, I rise today in strong opposition of Senate Bill 249 on behalf of the voters of Vance and Granville County who deserve fair maps and representation, not political manipulation. This bill is a partisan weapon designed to silence voices and protect power, not people. This bill is not a reaction to Governor Gavin Newsom and what they intend on doing in the state of California. This is a reaction at the behest of the President of the United States and Governor Greg Abbott of Texas. Make no mistake about that. The leadership in the General Assembly has sought fit to basically follow their lead and do as they're told. Our democracy deserves better. The people of North Carolina deserve better. The folks of our district in Eastern North Carolina deserve better. I urge my colleagues today to reject this disgraceful bill and vote no. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Helfrich, arise?
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As a former English teacher, I pay close attention to words and to phrases. And one phrase I've heard a lot over the past several days is answering the call. A sitting president has asked states to rig their voting districts in order to avoid accountability in the midterms. And here we are answering the call. But in forcing this bill through today, you know whose calls we are refusing to answer? Yours. 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 And the tens of thousands of other people across this state from each of our districts who have been calling us, emailing us, writing us, submitting public comments, traveling here by bus and by carpool, asking us to simply say, no. No. We will not further rig our voting districts at the request of one person. But answering the call, of course, is not just about picking up the phone. It's about responding to challenge out of a sense of duty. I thought our duty was to the Constitution and to the people of North Carolina, and they are overwhelmingly opposed to this bill. And to that end, Mr. Speaker, I have concluded my remarks on the bill and would like to be recognized for a question of privilege under Rule 8.
The lady may state her question of privilege.
I understand that Rule 8 concerns the rights of the House collectively, its safety and dignity, and the integrity of its proceedings. Members of the House, we asked the public to submit comment on this proposed map. They answered the call. As of 10:30 this morning, we had received 12,280 comments. I have them printed right here. At no point in these proceedings has their input been meaningfully considered. And I believe this calls into question the integrity of the House and these proceedings.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Moria,
speak to the bill?
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
We are here today because simply it's map warfare that was started unquestionably on the record by the President of the United States when he demanded the Governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, to redraw the Texas congressional maps so there would be at least five more Republicans representing the MAGA agenda in Congress and the nation. This is on record. It is in writing. In response, California has a referendum to their voters to counteract Texas redistricting. And now here we are in North Carolina doing a fifth redistricting in 5 years. And it's not because of the census. It's not because of a court order. It's because of a command from a president, unprecedented in American history. Let's look at what the 10th Amendment of our U.S. Constitution says. All powers not given to the federal government are reserved to the states. Election laws are reserved to the states, not the federal government. What we are doing here, upon the direction of the president, is allowing the federal government to overstep its authority. Even worse, as my colleague said, we are targeting Congressional District 1, known as the Eastern Black Belt of North Carolina. We are dividing and diluting historically Black and Latino voters, exactly what they did in Texas. The lawsuit has been filed. They diluted and they divided Black Hispanic voters in Dallas, in Houston, drew two incumbent congressional Democrats in one district. It's the same playbook. All of this, while the president's polling is at a historical low and people are rejecting the cruelty of the MAGA agenda. And I thought, foolishly, Republicans stood for less government and states' rights. Could have fooled us, but you have not fooled the voters. And rather than have robust public hearings, we had two committee hearings where people from all over the state came to Raleigh to have 1 minute to speak. And their voices need to be amplified. One of them, I proudly served for 2 decades in the United States Air Force. I defended freedom, and you don't need to use racial data to see racial impact. That's not balance, that's silence. And I did not fight for my country for selective freedom. Another, you are redistricting the state to finagle more power and money for yourselves. And if you truly care about what your constituents think, then put a referendum on the ballot and ask them across the state. Let them decide. Another, who teaches civics in District 3. My seniors can tell you why gerrymandering, why legal is unethical and wrong. We will be District 1, not because of a census redistricting, but because of fear from Republican leadership over potentially losing a seat in the midterm. The thousands of students I have taught in my 28-year career are far more fair-minded and constitutionally aligned than our current General Assembly. And yes, I taught gerrymandering was wrong when the Democrats did it. Shame on every member who allows their party to take dominance over what's right. Feel free. Come to my civics class. You may learn something. And finally, a former Republican who says, I am a former Republican. I say former because I can no longer believe in, trust, or endorse the Republican Party. They only care about one thing, accumulating power and profits at the expense of everyone and everything. If this redistricting passes, it's a violation of American decency and a blatant power grab. It sends a signal that the Republican Party no longer cares about free and fair election. This is how democracy dies. Those are just 4 of the public comments senators and representatives heard this week when they had 1 minute to speak. So this body has outlawed in a bill that's up for a veto, DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion in state government, in our universities. And now we're doing it with voting. It's shameful.
Members, just as way of administration, the rules chair, I think expecting the minority leader, we will vote on this bill by 12:30. The chair will continue with those folks who have their lights on until that time.
And Mr. Speaker, excuse me, I'd like to send forth an amendment.
So I think the amendments have been put forth, but not into the dashboard yet. So we'll deal with your amendments before 12:30.
Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill. The
gentleman is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, sir. Having been given complete control of the federal government, Republicans have managed to shut down the government during the present Trump administration after seeing the previous Trump administration shut down the government for a record 35 days. And now North Carolina Republicans have the illogical nerve to ask for more Republicans through a rigged system. Speaking of illogical, it's also been said that this has been done because President Trump has a mandate from voters, but not North Carolina voters. Because if voters were said to give a mandate, then that would mean Governor Josh Stein has a mandate. For he won more votes than President Trump did by about 172,000. So instead of pressing President Trump's agenda in North Carolina, we ought to be voting for Governor Stein's budget if we're using votes as indication of a mandate. It was also alluded to about California's redistricting efforts. But there's a very clear and distinct difference between what we're doing in North Carolina and what's happening in California. Because in California, the referendum goes to the voters. In North Carolina, a few people get behind a closed door and decide that we need a new map. Finally, it's very ironic in this body that we've done two things which seem to be opposed to each other. First, we have funded the Cheatham White Scholarship, which is a great scholarship program that helps deserving students at North Carolina A&T and North Carolina Central University. The irony of the Cheatham White Scholarships is that the white part of it comes from a gentleman by the name of George Henry White, who was pushed out of Congress in 1901 by a very similar system as what we're using right now. But I want to quote George Henry White as I conclude my remarks. He said, "You may push the African American out of Congress by these ill-gotten means, but someday the African American congressional representative will rise up someday and come again. So you may push the African American voters out of District 1, the representation of African American voters out of District 1, but this is wrong, and wrong never stands. Wrong never stands. And someday, when Democrats are back in control, and when by your help doing things like this, it will be sooner rather than later that Democrats will be back in control, we will recognize the power of the African-American voter in what's previously known as the Black Belt. I ask that you would vote no. Thank you.
For what purpose is the lady from Guilford, Representative Harris, to rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So much to say, ladies and gentlemen of the House, about all of this, but I'm going to start with the process because I don't think that's seen a lot of attention yet. This is highly irregular. We have had a very truncated schedule with less than 24 hours between publication of the map and the beginning of the discussion and the debate in the Senate. The public has had very little time to process and understand what we're doing here today. And we could have done it earlier because, as Representative Morey pointed out, this was started by the president, a directive to Texas. Texas started in June or July, and so we've had plenty of time to get an earlier start on this, but I'm not going to go deep into that. But I do want to point out, so thank you, Representative Helfrich, for pointing out that since yesterday and today, we had another 1,000 comments, totaling 12,215. want to compare that to 2021 and 2020, where we had 1,000 in 2021 and 600 in 2023. And out of those 12,215 and deep gratitude to my legislative assistant for going through most of them, she's found three in favor of these maps. Three. I want to talk about the public hearings. As was mentioned, there were just two here, one and both in Raleigh. And back in 2011, we had 65. In 2021, we had 14 in each congressional district. And then when we redrew in 2023, we did have three geographically spread out in the state. So folks have not had an opportunity to present and present in person, and you know how much of a difference that makes if you've attended these. So I'll just say there's been inadequate time for the legislators and the public to review. In those comments, I'll just highlight the most common mentioned themes: process, request for a nonpartisan independent redistricting process, no to gerrymandering, that's the high point, lots of comments about race and the racist nature of the maps, the fact that we should be working on the budget and other state high priorities, and a big chunk of folks who talk about the current president. I want to remind you that this map we are considering today, in a state with a history of the most gerrymandered maps in the country, we now have the most gerrymandered and least responsive map in the state's history before you. 84% of the public has expressed objections to the partisan nature of our redistricting process. I also want to talk on the substance. I want to talk to you about the fact that we still have a Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. We don't know for how long, but it was recently reaffirmed in the Allen v. Milligan case that took place in Alabama 2 years ago. And this requires an opportunity to draw districts for Black voters to elect a candidate of their choice. As has been mentioned, this map clearly carves out the Black Belt. Whether the sponsor used racial data or not, he knows the districts well enough to know that he was splitting up the Black Belt. Senator Heiss, because he's the one that drew the map. No personal attack, just attack here, just observing the process. He continued to claim throughout the process in the Senate and in yesterday's committee that we have no evidence of racially polarized voting in our state. But it's been some time since the last racially polarized voting analysis has been performed. And it was repeated in the Allen v. Milligan case that needs to be performed to understand localized racially polarized voting. So y'all remember, those of you who were here back in 2023 redraw, we did have one racially polarized voting analysis performed by the Southern Coalition for Social Justice. And they only had a week to do it, so it was very truncated. But that was in response to the fact that the lack of our performing our own. That found significantly racially polarized voting in this very area where we are getting ready to carve up the Black voters into two different districts. Senator Heiss also stated that there was no need to prove the jingles criteria because those weren't present either. But I want to repeat to you all what the jingles criteria are, because the Southern Coalition for Social Justice says that area of the state actually meets the jingles criteria. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to take up much of your time. I just think these are important points to make and to be considered as we get ready to approve this map. So the first is that a minority group must be able to demonstrate that it's sufficiently large and compact to constitute a majority of a single member district. Second, it must be able to show that it's politically cohesive. Third, it must be able to demonstrate that the white majority votes significantly as a block to enable it to defeat the minority's preferred candidate. Those criteria have been met. And we probably could have proved it ourselves if we had taken the time to go through the racially polarized voting analysis that was needed. So I will just, move along here to my next point. And has been stated, this particular district that's being, these two congressional districts that are being redrawn, have the longest legacy of Black leadership in the state's history and the highest concentration of Black voters. Representative Alma Adams said that yesterday in committee, and the former representative, Eva Clayton, who spoke at the committee, also pointed this out. This is really important to take into consideration. Representative Clayton, former Representative Clayton, was the first Black woman to represent North Carolina in our history in Congress. And she was the first Black elected to Congress from North Carolina since 1901. So as been pointed out by Representative Pierce and others, we have strong Black leadership fighting for the causes and the values that that area of the state cares about the most and are going to be most affected by the current leadership. So I just want to say that we are clear violation of the Voting Rights Act and likely are going to engage in litigation. So why is that important? Because this state, since the majority party, again, with all due respect, started drawing maps in 2011, we spent $22,512,000 on redistricting litigation, and probably more, but that's related to outside counsel. Article 1, Section 2, Sovereignty of the People. All political power is vested in and derived from the people. All government of right originates from the people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the whole. Is this map for the good of the whole? I contend that it's not. We're clearly carving up an area that is going to lose a long legacy of terrific leadership. We have a 12-2 map with zero competitive districts in a 50-50 state. Nope, it's not for the good of the whole. I encourage my colleagues to vote no on this map. Thank you.
Well, purpose of the lady from Orange, Representative Price, rise.
To debate the bill.
Please recognize to debate the bill.
250 years ago. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. 250 years ago, no taxation without representation was the rallying cry that prompted the American Revolution and the founding of this country. Colonial Americans refused to be dominated by people who failed to represent them fairly. Manipulating the boundaries of electoral constituencies in order to favor one party or class, or creating legislative districts that minimize the voices of the people that live therein, is therefore a direct assault on the very foundation of American democracy. This bill and this map are the epitome of gerrymandering, which are an assault on the spirit of democracy. The map denies people, particularly African Americans and Native Americans, of their right to fair elections. It is a violation of the United States Constitution and therefore an intentional violation against our basic rights as United States citizens, and furthermore, an egregious assault on the people of North Carolina, our constituents. This anxiousness to gerrymander a new congressional district appears to arise from a fear of losing elections. One could also surmise that the proponents of this map may be haunted by the fear that historically marginalized people will take their rightful places of influence and power. I therefore implore this body to reject this brazen act to redraw a map that intentionally disenfranchises thousands of people and that purposefully denies them the potential to elect leaders that truly represent their interests. The proposed map is unconstitutional, unjust, and immoral. And I ask you to please vote no on Senate Bill 249.
Members, we'll go ahead and take up Representative Morey's amendments. The first one on the dashboard. The amendment S-249 ACM 23 B3, the clerk will read.
Representative Morey moves to amend the bill.
Ladies and gentlemen, Representative Morey is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm presenting a map. And this map goes exactly like we had the congressional maps in 2022. It reflects the state of North Carolina, and it would give probably equal 7 Republican, 7 Democrat district. I ask you to approve this amendment.
Gentleman from Columbus, Representative Jones, recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative Morey, thank you for the amendment. We appreciate you putting the input in, but as you said, I guess we're redistricting in your way. It's okay, but if we're doing it that help the Republicans, it's not. So, members, I ask that you vote this down, please. Thank you.
Question for the House is the adoption of the amendment. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 46 having voted the affirmative and 67 in the negative. The amendment fails. Members, moving to the next amendment, Representative Morey, bill changes the title, so therefore not germane. So the amendment will be returned to the lady. We're now back on debate on the bill. For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Rubin, arise.
To debate the bill.
Gentlemen, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, at the end of the day and at the end of our lives, each of us should strive to be people who overcome the darkness and never to be the people that create the darkness that the others in our society are forced to overcome. Today's latest attack by Republicans on self-governance in North Carolina follows the attack on our Board of Elections. It follows a brazen attempt to steal a Supreme Court election, and it all adds up to a sense that there are those in our government that think only the right people may ever hold power, and that the rules must be rigged to make sure the people can never disagree with those choices. And now we're here today, the Republican Party holding a vote of no confidence on our self-government in North Carolina to make our already rigged maps even worse. But it's not just the maps themselves. Behold the process that led to today. Secretive, dismissive, 6 days long from end to end, and frankly, disrespectful of the people of North Carolina, dismissive of the people of North Carolina. You have treated them as obstacles to be managed, even talked down to here in this debate today, not citizens to be heard. And it would be bad enough if they were simply ignored. And they were ignored. No one looked at those comments. We all know that. No one looked at that. No one tried to take their feedback into consideration. And why even have a public comment period if you're going to dismiss all of their comments when they're clearly one direction? But the fact is, that's treating them with contempt. And I would say this, if you're wondering how it could get to that point, I mean, in politics, you would think elected officials would never want to treat the voters of their state with disrespect. That would lead to them being ousted. But the fact is, we're not just rigging the districts today. This House is the product of rigged districts. And everything that you see happening is a product of what happens when politicians pick their voters. It is a General Assembly who, despite rigging every district to make sure Republicans control this body, regardless of what the people think, still can't pass the budget. Ruined healthcare in this state. It is now the worst in the country for healthcare costs. 48th in the country for school funding, and rural schools in particular are being hit by that, the very districts many members of the Republican Party represent. This is the result of rigging electoral districts to isolate the members of the legislature, and now our members of Congress even more, from ever having to answer to the people. It is the opposite of what democracy is meant to be, and it is the opposite of our founding principles, that we are accountable to the people. And that when they get mad at the way we're running things, they can remove us. And they can pick somebody else who they think will do it better, and we get better, and we get better over time. The people of North Carolina are crying out for something real in their leaders. Something selfless. And yet with acts like this, you show them the worst of our politics. The absolute worst of it. Selfish power grabs designed to exclude the public from the process, to exalt and protect your own power, and real people suffer for the wanting. My message to the people of North Carolina is simple. It doesn't have to be like this. Your state legislature does not have to be an utter mess. You deserve a legislature that works together on driving down the highest healthcare costs in the country. You deserve one that funds your schools. You deserve a budget that gets passed, roads that get built, and a DMV that functions. All of that is possible. But these rigged maps, state and federal, are why you can't have it. But in all of this, I have faith in one thing, and it's the people of North Carolina. They should not have to overcome you. They shouldn't have to overcome maps rigged against them. They shouldn't have to overcome their representatives consistently working to exclude the public from every aspect of participation. But I have faith that they will overcome it. And when they do, instead of petty revenge and a different set of bad maps that go the other way, we will put forth a constitutional amendment to end this absolute corruption once and for all, to make crystal clear that legislators serve the people. And for all the complaining about Democrats and other far-off states doing what you don't like, let's make it a federal constitutional amendment. I'll sign it. I'll tour the country with you. If you don't like it in Illinois, we can end it there too. At the end of the day and at the end of our lives, each of us should strive to be people who help others overcome the darkness. And we all have to check ourselves to make sure that we're not becoming it.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to previous question.
Sergeant at Arms will clear the gallery. Now, back to the motion. The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, has moved the previous question. The motion is not debatable. Question for the House is the approval of Representative Bell's motion for the previous question. All those in favor of the motion will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will not machine record the vote. 65 having voted the affirmative and 49 the negative. The motion carries. The majority and minority leaders each get 3 minutes to speak. Majority leader is waiving their 3 minutes. Representative Reeves, who's the chair, want to have recognized for the 3 minutes.
I will do the speaking. Thank you.
General from Chatham, Representative Reeves, recognized to debate the bill.
Okay. And what I will say is this, because I know I've got to be quick. 10:30, we were here ready to do business. We start at 11:30. 11:30, we were thinking we'd have a little time to debate. We don't. I want to express on behalf of the caucus, that's pretty frustrating. This is serious. So I will try to be as concise as possible. I will tell you what I told you in committee yesterday. I'm not getting into fairness. I'm not getting into what should or shouldn't happen. I'm not getting into process. We've decided to be who we're going to be. Here's what I'm telling you. One day it's you. I'm scared. I'm not angry. I am frightened. Indiana Senate Republicans say they do not have votes to pass mid-cycle redistricting despite a pressure campaign from the White House, according to a spokesperson for Senate President Pro Tem Roderick Bray. How was he answered? An immediate answer from a campaign manager, not an elected official, who said, oh yeah, now the real fun begins. I don't know any other way to interpret that if I'm the president pro tem of that Senate, except I just got threatened. It feels good when you're doing it for somebody that you like. But everything we do in this building has to be done based on what happens when it's a guy I don't like. And I'm going to tell you guys a secret. I'm lucky enough to be in the Democratic Party, so I know full well how much people can dislike you, even in your own party. Don Davis is getting drawn out for one simple reason. There may be other reasons, and that's for other people to discuss. You know why Don Davis is going home? Because he had the nerve to say Northeastern North Carolina can't survive with these Medicaid cuts. Northeastern North Carolina cannot survive with these education cuts. I have got to put my constituents first. And you know the sad thing? Don Davis was always called one of the good ones by a lot of people in this chamber. He was a good one. And he's going home. Don Davis busted his behind when he was here to work both sides. He busted his behind to compromise, and he's going home. And I can go ahead and tell you, Roderick Bray can go ahead and count his days. He's getting primaried and he's going home. I said yesterday, John Bolton is under indictment. James Comey is under indictment. And I know that's not a big deal to anybody now because you're like, look, I'm going to stay on the good side. But what happens when it's your district? What happens when the people who put you up here say we can't do what they're asking us to do? You're right. It's been transparent. But I'm not going to get into why we're doing this because I'm not in the room. I know what the news has reported. I know what the quid pro quo is supposed to be for this. And what I know is the House didn't draw this map. The House wasn't asked their opinion. And the House is getting nothing out of this except for to be able to say that we are doing what we've been asked to do. What I can say candidly is this, and I remember this as clear as day. My 8 years out of 11 were spent with Roy Cooper. And I can't tell you how many times I sat there and listened to somebody say, don't you just do what Roy Cooper says. He's not your boss. You're in the legislature. I mean, I think I heard that every week. And I replied, I like Roy Cooper a lot, but he doesn't tell me what to do. I do what I think is best for my folks back home. Because ultimately, whatever he feels about me, there's going to be another governor. Whatever he feels about me, there are going to be other people I've got to answer to. And whatever he feels about me, the most important people in my life need to be able to look me in the face and then look their friends and family in the face and say, whether you agree with him or not, he did what he thought was going to help you guys out. And that's done. That ends today. Because you can't tell me that out of 71 members, there's not one district that's getting hurt right now by the present agenda. This isn't about how you feel about this person. There's always going to be another person. We've had members serve for 40 years up here. Do you know how many presidents and governors those members go through? But this body stays because we are the last line of defense for this state. We are the last line of defense for the people who got us here. Do you know how hard all of you have been through this and have been in rural counties? Do you know how hard it is to lift yourself up when everything is lined up against you? Do you know how many good benefits, lucky breaks you've got to get to end up how you end up here? And do you know how many times one thing going bad, one bit of government money not showing up, one program, one service not being there, and you're back home, and you're working somewhere, you're making $7.45 an hour because you didn't know the right people at the right time. And that's not what this country was built on. And it is shocking to me. It is shocking to me where we are right now. This is easy. If you are Republican in this state and in this country, you can run anything. Every last one of you could stand up and say, nah, I'm not doing this. And you know what can happen to you? Nothing. You've got a working supermajority, according to the newspapers. You can pass any bill at any time, do anything you want. And we're passing a bill right now for somebody that won't even sit in the room and talk to you about the budget, which is the only job we've got. And I don't know why, and I don't care why, and it's not my business. But at some point in time, I'm not telling anybody they're going to lose office. I'm not telling you that the voters are going to make you pay and all that. I don't know what the voters are going to do. I never know. What I do know is this. There's somebody you care about back home who is going to suffer with these cuts. There's somebody who is going to die because of these cuts. There's some brilliant child at home whose chances are now cut off because they're just not going to have the money for a school. They're just not going to have the ability to go to a university. They're just not going to have the ability because their ability is in science and there are no science jobs at home and they can't leave. And I can't feel good about that. So I appreciate Don Davis. I appreciate Tom Tillis, who's being sent home, who used to be right up there. Tom Tillis is the reason half of the Republican caucus is here right now. Tom Tillis is one of five people who created the supermajority. And he's having to go home because he's like, my people can't take this. So this isn't about how you feel about this president. I'm not getting into that. The last president everybody felt like was a great president was George Washington. And even George Washington said, I could stay in this office for the rest of my life, but I'm not. Because that's not what's good for this country. We have won the war for independence and we're going to be better than England. Think about that. We talk about blood, sweat, and tears. He actually bled. He actually sweated. He actually risked execution. And then he had an entire country in his hands. And he said, I am stepping away because it's the right thing to do. Because just because I have the power to do something doesn't mean that I should do that. And we're completely the opposite now. We have taken the position that if we got the power to do it, we can do whatever the hell we want now. And Representative Quick made a great point that, you know, this switches and stuff. I don't even care about that anymore. I don't know if this ever switches. I don't know if this ever changes. I don't know if we're going to have elections in 4 years. But what I know is as long as I'm allowed to serve the people of my district,
Representative, and the state. The gentleman is beyond 8 minutes. I don't think I've ever cut you off, but I would ask you to wrap up your comments.
And I understand. And I am expressing a lot of points that would have been made by a lot of people on this side because they're angry and upset. The Senate debated for hours. And I appreciate where you're coming from, Mr. Speaker. It is just, I can't watch it die like this. But it seems like I'm going to have to. But what I would ask is you mark this day. Mark this day. Because one day they're coming to you and they're going to ask you to do something that you just can't do. And because we have set the precedent that only one person in the party matters, you're going home. You've got a chance to vote no. Be like Indiana. Be like all these other states who just said, nah, we're just not doing this. Or we've got a chance to do what we're told and then one day look up and say, God, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I had taken that moment. Thank you.
Question for the House is the passage of the Senate Committee substitute to Senate Bill 249 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will like machine and record the vote. 66 having voted in the affirmative and 48 in the negative. The Senate committee substitutes Senate Bill 249 having passed its second reading. Read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question with the House is the passage of the Senate committee substitutes Senate Bill 249 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate committee substitute to Senate Bill 249 having passed its third reading will be ordered and rolled. Members, the Rules Committee is going to meet immediately upon us going into recess, which we're about to do. It's 12:41, so the chair intends to begin session at 1:40.
Mr. Speaker?
Just 1 second. I may answer your question before. Give me 1 second. So we'll come back in at 1:40. The chair would just ask staff as quickly as you can to get those bills back up here. But I don't anticipate that 1:40 session lasting more than 20 minutes or so. And, of course, Representative Reeves will have all those bills ahead of time to the extent he doesn't have them now. For what purpose? General from Halifax, Representative Pierce Rice.
Mr. Speaker, I rise to state a protest under Article 2, Section 18 of the North Carolina Constitution.
So noted. For what purpose? General from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise. For what purpose does the lady of New Hanover, Representative Butler, rise?
I likewise rise to raise a constitutional challenge, sir, under Article 2, Section 18.
Noted. For what purpose does the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Bell, rise?
Mr. Speaker, I do too rise to make a protest under the pursuant to Article 2, Section 18 of the North Carolina Constitution.
Chair presumes all of the lights on right now have constitutional arguments they wish to make, and those will be so noted. Does anybody have any concerns that are not constitutional in nature? Seeing none, the House will now be in recess until 1:40 p.m.
Yeah. Democrats caucusing downstairs, except for those of us that are on rules.
We're actually not going to see this one yet. Greece is going to go press tag for Tanner. Everyone can join it.
Yep.
going to return from either.
The House will come back to order. Members, Chair understands Minority Leader has been notified of all this, but the first thing that we'll have to do is take up an amendment to our adjournment resolution so that we can deal with certain budgetary items that are in some of these bills. And we have to basically suspend the rules so that that can be read in today. So members, House Joint Resolution 1016, amend adjournment resolution. It was filed with the clerk's office yesterday evening without objection. Rule 31 and 41 are suspended so the resolution may receive its first reading today and be placed on the calendar. Again, that's so we can vote on those budget bills. Without objection, Mr. Clerk, so order. Introduction of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
House Joint Resolution 1016, a joint resolution to amend adjournment resolution.
Place on today's calendar. Committee reports, clerk will read.
Representative John R. Bell IV, Chair, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House Committee Report. Senate Bill 378, HOA Revisions, Favorable House Comsub, unfavorable to the original bill.
House Committee Substitute Calendar for today, original bill, unfavorable calendar.
Senate Bill 405, Committee Substitute Number 1, Chiropractic Mods, favorable House Comsub, unfavorable to Senate Comsub.
House Committee Substitute, calendar for today, Senate Committee Substitute, unfavorable calendar.
Senate Bill 599, Committee Substitute Number 1, Dental Board Reform, favorable House Comsub, unfavorable Senate Comsub.
House Committee Substitute, calendar for today, Senate Committee Substitute, unfavorable calendar. Okay, members, they should be appearing on your dashboard, so we'll go ahead and take up a number of these bills. And if you look at your calendar, public bills, second and third readings, we'll just start from the beginning. Mr. Clerk, House Bill 491. Clerk will read.
Representatives Lambeth, Rhine, White, and Dixon, House Bill 491, a bill to be entitled Medicaid Rebase Funding, the Joint Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and colleagues. We are still trying to find the right formula to be able to get the Medicaid rebase to the point where we can back away from the cuts. What this bill does is pretty straightforward. It allows the department to use the reserves that they have within the department to actually buffer the amount of money they need to fund the department so we don't have to do the cuts. It's a solution that I've worked with the department on. They support it. We'll see how the Senate reacts to it, but it does give them the flexibility and it does not take any new money. And then as we get a budget done, hopefully we'll restore their reserve funding that they might need in the future. But that's all this bill really does.
Further discussion or debate? For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Crawford, arise.
To speak to the bill.
Please recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think it's probably no surprise that I'm speaking on this bill. A lot of you know that I've worked at length on Medicaid on this challenge over the last 8 weeks. And I still rise just in utter disbelief that this is where we are. We spoke to a group of folks. I think many of you saw folks who showed up yesterday. And I appreciate folks from both sides of the aisle going and meeting with folks in their offices, going over to the LOB and meeting with a group of folks in the afternoon and speaking with those folks who showed up. People who represented the provider community, who represented families, who were there on behalf of themselves, and people who stood in the gaps for a whole host of individuals who could not make their way downtown Raleigh yesterday. And as I've spoken with many of you in this chamber and many people across North Carolina on this issue, the families that are going to be impacted if we are not able to fix this week, they really need a hero. They need a hero. I said before that these cuts will be devastating. They'll be devastating to providers. They'll be devastating to the workforce, particularly our direct care workforce, who shows up every day to provide high quality care to people with disabilities, children who need access to health care, and so many more. It will be devastating to communities. It'll be devastating to families. And I don't have any prepared remarks today. But when we talk about heroes, those are the people who have to do the hard thing. And sometimes it means you have to make concessions when you don't want to, because you know the other side might not get there. And I appreciate the heroes in this room who have stood up for those families, who have worked hard. And I am pleading with this body to be the hero, to get this done. And if we are not able to get it done through legislative action, which is, Leader Reeve said it earlier, I mean, we should be able to get anything done that we want. Republicans are in the supermajority in the Senate and have a majority here in the House. We should be able to get this done because, again, as I said before, there's not a Democrat, a Republican, a senator, or a House member who does not want to solve this. Across the board. And I am fearful that we will get to the end of this week having not solved it. And so I will add that I will continue pleading that the right folks can step in and prevent these cuts, delay them, prevent them altogether, so that the families who have the most need and the least access across this state will continue to have the services that they so desperately need. I urge your support of this bill. Let's continue to send a strong signal to North Carolina that the House is ready and willing to do what it takes to ensure that people continue to have access to these critical services. Thank you.
Well, purpose of the gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, arise.
Just to comment on the bill.
Gentlemen, recognize to debate the bill.
That was a heartfelt commentary by our colleague, and I agree. The people of North Carolina need to have this resolved. But when we start pointing fingers at the legislature on this, it's misleading. The cuts come from one place and one place only, and that's the governor's office. And Governor Stein needs to stand up and own this and own it publicly. They have been funded, and as I understand, have been funded through April of next year. And this body has not ever wavered on providing the additional funding that they need when it's needed. But every time that we write a blank check to an agency or a group across this state, they come back with wasteful spending, and it just doesn't do what it's, whether it's hurricane relief or transportation or wherever, whatever agency we write a blank check to comes back and has misspent that money. They are fully funded without a single cut through April of next year. And let's be honest about that so the people of the state know where that problem lies. Thank you.
What purpose the gentleman from Wake, Representative Rubin, arise?
To speak to the bill.
Gentleman to recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully disagree.
At the end of the day, when you're managing a complex system that relies on large amounts of funding, you have to make sure you're confident you will get that existing or that continued funding when April comes, or the cuts won't be a little, the cuts will be 100%. And the fact is, this body hasn't passed a budget. So I just don't think there's any reason to be confident that this legislature will pass more funding come April or before April, because there's no reason historically this session to think that will happen. And it's not because folks in this room just don't want to do it. We passed a great Medicaid funding package, I think a month, two ago. Senate wouldn't take it up, right? So I think there's reason for folks outside this building to look at this building with a lack of confidence in its ability to get something into law that would continue funding. And so I think the governor has very good reason to be managing carefully the Medicaid system when the legislature can't be counted on to pass a budget. Thank you.
What purpose, lady from Wake, Representative Savanio Rise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
So I want to level set a little bit here. I wasn't prepared to say anything either, but I worked at a Medicaid office for a good amount of time. Let's understand what rebase is. And I spoke on this last time when we voted on the other bill. This money is money that is forecasted on what is going to be spent so that we can make sure that we are even out. We have good people in this building who forecast this, and we have good people at the Office of State Management forecasting this. The unfortunate thing right now is that they can't agree about what that money is. So it's not a blank check. Please, let's know that it's not, that there's a lot of great people in our state government who's trying to do the best job on this. And we all have responsibility on this, not just Governor Cooper and the executive branch. The past few weeks I've been talking about civics to little kids and to senior citizens in my community. We all have a responsibility to this. We here provide the money for them to do Medicaid along with our federal government. But the executive branch is responsible to implement what we say to them when it comes to this budgeting. So let's make that very clear to everybody. And if there's any questions about how this is, let me know. Thank you so much.
For what purpose, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise. Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute to House Bill 491 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Crawford, aye. Allman, aye. Riddell, aye. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 111 having voted the affirmative and none of the negative. House Committee Substitute to House Bill 491 having passed its second reading and without objection will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina next.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 491 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 491 having passed its third reading will be ordered sent to the Senate. Members will take up the appointments bill now. Mr. Clerk. Senate Bill 777, Clerk will read.
Rules, calendar, and operations of the House. Senate Bill 777, Senator Daniel, a bill to be entitled General Assembly Appointments, the General Assembly of North Carolina Enacts.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This appointments bill makes corrections to previous appointments, replaces board members who resigned while the General Assembly was in recess. All appointments have been thoroughly vetted by the Speaker's office and deemed qualified to serve. I ask for your support.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 777 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Garland Pierce, aye. Perret, aye. Quick, aye. Clerk will lock machine record the vote. 104 having voted the affirmative and 7 in the negative. Senate Bill 777 having passed its second reading without objection will be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Fight for the House, passage of Senate Bill 777 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Senate Bill 777, having passed its third reading, will be ordered engrossed. And strike that, enrolled. This thing messed up. Okay, here it is. Mr. Rules Chair, if you'll stay with us, we'll go ahead and do the adjournment resolution. Mr. Clerk, House Joint Resolution 1016, Clerk will read.
Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. House Joint Resolution 1016, a joint resolution to amend the adjournment resolution. The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
Representative Bell has an amendment we'll go ahead and deal with. Madam Clerk, Representative Bell is recognized to send forth an amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Bell moves to amend the bill.
Gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And members, on what this amendment does is add matters pertaining to the state budgetary issues to our adjournment resolution. I ask for your support.
Question for the House is the adoption of the amendment. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Crawford, aye. Representative Paray, lady wish to be recorded. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 108 having voted affirmative and 3 in the negative. The amendment's adopted. We're now back on the joint resolution. The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this joint resolution, this adjournment resolution was like the previous joint resolutions. The only two things that have been changed in this was one, what we just did to allow the budgetary issues, and then the previous change before that was to allow Medicaid rebase funding issues. I ask for your support.
What purpose, lady from New Hanover, Representative Butler, arise.
I just had a quick question about that.
Ladies recognized for to the rules chair.
Yes, sir.
Gentleman yield. He yields.
I just wonder, shouldn't we have done that before we voted on the Medicaid rebase?
We have other bills coming.
Question for the House is passage of House Joint Resolution 1016 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative and 4 in the negative. House Joint Resolution 1016 having passed the second reading without objection will be read a third time.
The House resolves, the Senate concurring.
Question for the House is the passage of House Joint Resolution 1016 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and House Joint Resolution 1016 having passed its third reading will be ordered engrossed and sent to the Senate. And Representative Butler to answer the lady's question for purposes of posterity and for those who in the Senate may feel different. I think the answer to the question is essentially if no one objects to a matter as being not under the adjournment resolution, then the rule is deemed being waived. So the bill would be eligible in the Senate. They'll have to take up our change in the adjournment resolution as well. And hopefully they'll do that.
Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I just think as a matter of course, we ought to give ourselves the authority to do something before we do it. Thank you.
This is a strange place. Sometimes those things happen in reverse. We'll move down the calendar now. Senate Bill 378, Clerk will read.
Senator Sawery, Johnson, Sawyer, Senate Bill 378, a bill to be entitled, Align Medicaid Eligibility with Federal Law, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized. Bill.
Mr. Chair, I'd make a motion that we approve this and like to speak on the bill. The Senate Bill 378 makes clear that public dollars will no longer flow to abortion providers like Planned Parenthood, ensuring our Medicaid program focuses instead on healthcare providers who offer comprehensive care for women without undermining the values of North Carolinians. North Carolina taxpayers shall never be forced to subsidize abortion organizations. This bill is very simply written. It is written so that we comply with federal law. Number one, it disenrolls Planned Parenthood Federation of America and associated entities as Medicaid providers. It discontinues any Medicaid contracts with Planned Parenthood Federation of America and associated entities, and it engages other Medicaid providers to provide Medicaid services previously provided by Planned Parenthood Federation of America and associated entities. That's the totality of the law. What this does is federal law has been enacted and puts restrictions on Medicaid program, and this brings North Carolina into line with federal law. And with that, I ask for your support.
For what purpose, lady from Wake, Representative Cervantes rise.
To debate the bill.
Ladies, recognize to debate the bill.
At its core, this bill is about freedom and accountability. This bill tells North Carolinians on Medicaid that government, not them, knows best where they should go for their basic health care, preventive health care, and their care that they want to have for themselves. What we're doing now is it makes a government directive health care plain and simple. Now, I know many of us on both sides of the aisle value personal responsibility and limited government. We want people to make their own decisions, not have Raleigh make them for them. That is why this bill should be concerning to everyone here. This legislation would disenroll thousands of women and families who are already relying on coverage to be told you can't go to your current doctor anymore. For many communities, especially in rural ones, most of you represent rural areas. These clinics are the only providers that provide, and not, they don't just do abortions. Most of their services are family planning, cancer screenings, and testing for acute conditions. This isn't about funding abortion. Again, I worked at a Medicaid office, and it's true here too. Medicaid already doesn't pay for abortions. Let's be clear on that. It's about preventive care that saves lives and saves taxpayer dollars down the road. And when cancers are caught early, when acute conditions are treated quickly, when families can plan responsibly, that's fiscal realism. And for my colleagues across the aisle, fiscal conservatism at its best and in action. So I would remind my colleagues, this bill doesn't change anything today. Federal restrictions under our current federal administration, under this current president, already makes this in effect. So what this bill does, it makes those restrictions permanent at the state level. Even if Washington decides to change their course or the court strikes this rule down. So why should we lock North Carolinians into a federal policy that already may be on its way out? Why tie our hands instead of letting our state make the right call at the right time? This is not sovereignty. It's surrendering our flexibility, our responsibility as legislators representing our people. We should be focusing on strengthening Medicaid expansion. We just worked so hard to achieve ensuring access to doctors, mental health services, and prenatal care, not narrowing provider networks for political reasons. I believe and freedom of choice for our patients. I believe in fiscal prudence
which I think a lot of us in this building, this chamber, believe in too, for taxpayers. And I believe in local control for North Carolinians and personal control of individuals. And this bill undermines all of that. So today, let's stand together for limited government, efficient spending, and patient freedom. Freedom. Like the Freedom Caucus. Let's vote no on this bill, not because of partisanship, but because it's the right thing to do. Thank you so much.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Lady May Snyder, point of order.
In my view, Senate Bill 378 does not comply with the adjournment resolution that we passed previous to today, as well as the one we just passed 5 minutes ago.
Well, the chair's going to let members continue to debate, and the chair will come back to the lady's point of order. For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, and I'll come back to you to debate if you want as well. For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Butterrise?
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
So when you are a woman and you turn 18, you're a young woman, and you are told that every year you need to see the gynecologist. Every year until you die, you go see a woman's doctor. That doctor does pap smears for cervical screening. That doctor does breast exams to check for breast cancer. That doctor answers questions about sexual health, good relationships, and what they look like. That's the doctor that you call when something doesn't feel right or look right. That's a doctor who diagnoses and prescribes birth control to prevent unwanted and unplanned pregnancies, thereby reducing the number of elective abortions. That is the same doctor that, heaven forbid, you get a sexually transmitted disease, diagnoses it and treats it, and hopefully in time before you have fertility issues. 99 counties in North Carolina, 99 out of 100 counties, have constituents, patients at Planned Parenthood healthcare providers for women. So when you decide that you are going to remove access to healthcare, don't fool yourself into thinking that that's okay. My county has a county health department, or I have nonprofits in my district. They can go there. First of all, if you're scared and something's not right, you think you have cancer, waiting months to find out the answer, you can't. If it's a nonprofit that doesn't provide that particular service, where do you go then? But also, let's just say you have nonprofits and you've got county health departments. Where are they, and do you have transportation to them? And what kind of sliding scale or free services do they provide? These are all questions that I have not heard answered. And what I also noted is there's no replacement for those healthcare providers that carry the logo of Planned Parenthood to provide those services you seek to get today. And in a functioning democracy, this would be a bold move to cut access to women's healthcare throughout the state of North Carolina. Bold move. But given that you rig the maps today so that the voters' voices are silenced and don't carry weight, I guess it doesn't matter what happens to those women in your districts when they don't have access to healthcare that takes care of things, answers questions, provides support and access to other resources. And so keep that in mind as we move forward. You're emboldened today because you don't have to give a damn about the voters at home. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Cobarrus, Representative Campbell, rise?
Briefly speak to the bill, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman recognized to debate the bill.
I'm not here to tell any of you how to vote. I want you to vote how you feel and how you believe. I do want to set some minds at ease. I think that, you know, it is important to designate providers that can pick up this restriction. We seem to be incorporating concerns about rural health care into this debate because we know that there is some rural shortages. I just want to set everybody's mind at ease. There is not a Planned Parenthood in a rural county in this state. Not one. Every one of them are in an urban county. I practice women's health care. in a rural county. I have community health centers that are chomping at the bit to expand their capacity to take care of patients with our help. They're ready to step up to do this. The only difference between them and Planned Parenthood is that there are certain services that they do not offer. Again, I respect everybody in this chamber. I don't tell you how to vote. I respect how you vote. But I think it is important that we bring in some accuracy about this debate. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, Lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Budd, rise.
To debate the bill a second time.
He's recognized to debate the bill a second time.
I want to respond and make sure that I was very clear. I didn't say there were Planned Parenthood health care providers in 99 counties. I said they serve women in North Carolina who come from 99 counties. And that ought to tell us all something about the lack of affordable health care and access to resources as a woman in the state of North Carolina. Thank you. Actually, a follow-on point, the answer is, it's not there, it's not funded, and when you decide you're going to gut an organization that takes care of women, it falls on all of us to figure out what, who, how, and where we're going to come up with a replacement, and this bill says nothing. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Moore, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on behalf of the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Today, the House is deciding if we're going to comply with federal legislation supported by the Supreme Court in Medina versus Planned Parenthood, affirming the state's rights to stop abortion providers from receiving Medicaid funds. Planned Parenthood, I realize there are different opinions on this, is an activist organization using strategic marketing not only to sell abortions, but chemical castration drugs not approved by the FDA for gender transitioning. We should stop forcing taxpayers to fund Planned Parenthood, an overtly political organization which preys on pregnant women in crisis and gender-confused people for profit. Taxpayers should not be forced to be investors in Planned Parenthood atrocities. This bill simply redirects Medicaid funding to non-political community health centers, which provide true health care. Thank you.
For what purpose, Lady from Wake, Representative Von Haven, rise. Strike that. I'll come back to you. What we're going to do, we'll displace this bill momentarily. I'll come back to it in just a second, give you a chance to talk a bit. Mr. Clerk, Senate Bill 405, Clerk will read.
Senators Hayes, Sawrey, Bergen, Senate Bill 405, a bill to be entitled Healthcare Investment Act, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'm back again. We keep looking for, I hear what everyone says. We have continued to look for any creative, innovative way to solve the Medicaid crisis. This is another option that we have, and so we're trying to pass options over to the Senate with an expectation that they will also take up one of these options. This option is actually a Senate bill that they constructed to deal with the Medicaid crisis. With a couple of exceptions, we took out items that didn't relate to Medicaid, i.e. the Children's Hospital, and we kept this to a clean Medicaid bill, but it is basically the Senate bill that they sent over that we're now modifying slightly and sending it back. It will provide the funds and the rebase number that the department needs to keep the rates flat through this fiscal year, and obviously if there's a change in that, we would deal with that towards the end of the year. But I would also encourage you to support this, to give us another tool in our toolbox to try to get this problem solved.
Well, purpose of the lady from Wake, Representative Crawford, rise.
To speak on the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I just want to say thank you to my colleague, Representative Lambeth, and to everyone who has worked so hard on this to try to find a solution that will appease everybody in this situation. I also want to just reiterate something I said earlier. The families who are impacted by this so desperately need a hero. I think that we have tried in this chamber to do that. And this is not an urge for this chamber. This is a plea to the Senate and a plea to the administration to please have somebody step up and be the hero in this story so that we can protect the livelihoods of so many people across the state. Thank you.
What purpose of the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
We don't need to hear again. We need a hero. What we need is the Senate to do what's right. And because the House has done what's right on this, we just need the Senate to move forward. So we don't need a hero. Thank you.
Further discussion and debate. Seeing none, the question before the House is to pass it to the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 405 on its second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Local lock machine recorded the vote. 109 having voted the affirmative and 1 in the negative. The House Committee substitutes Senate Bill 405 having passed its second reading without objection. Be read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Next before the House is the passage of the House Committee substitutes Senate Bill 405 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the House Committee substitutes Senate Bill 405 having passed its third reading will be ordered sent to the Senate. Senate Bill 599. Clerk will read.
Senators Gailey, Sawry, Bergen, Senate Bill 599, a bill to be entitled State Teacher Employee Pay and Local LEO Bonus, the General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Representative Bray is the lady handling this bill. Lady from Wake, Representative Bray is recognized to debate the bill, or does the lady want to take the amendments up first?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take up the amendments first.
We'll go ahead and deal with the amendments. Mr. Clerk, Representative Prey is recognized. Send forth Amendment AMC 43V1. Clerk will read.
Representative Prey moves to amend the bill.
Lady from Wake, Representative Prey is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, this amendment is a technical correction. There is a typo in the spelling of a term in the original form, and this just corrects that. So I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? Representative Dew, lady, you want to debate the amendment or the bill?
No, I'm sorry. I just would like to change my vote.
On the last bill?
Yes.
Senate Bill 405, lady wishes to be recorded as having voted aye.
Yes. And yes.
So ordered.
Thank you.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question for the House is the adoption of the amendment. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Reeves, aye. Lofton, aye. Clerk will live machine record the vote. 110 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. We can now go to Representative Perret's other amendment. Mr. Clerk, Representative Perret is recognized to send forth Amendment AMR 45V7. Clerk will read.
Representative Perret moves to amend the bill.
Lady from Wake, Representative Perret is recognized to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I hope you will support this amendment. This amendment just adds the state employee retiree COLA that we had in the original salary package and the House passed budget, and that's what we will be talking about next. So this amendment just brings the package into alignment of what we passed before. Ask for your support.
Further discussion or debate on the amendment? Seeing none, the question for the House is the adoption of the amendment. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Reeves, aye. Lofton, aye. Clerk will light machine record the vote. 110 having voted the affirmative and none in the negative. The amendment is adopted. And we're now back on the bill. Well, purpose of the lady can wake. Representative Parade rise.
To debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Senate Bill 599, what we're trying to do here is to once again solidify our strong support for the House-passed budget salary package. We'd like to send this back over there and to, I guess, reiterate what Chairman Lambeth said before. We're doing everything that we can to try our hardest to make sure we get this done for the people of North Carolina. So you will remember that the House passed a meaningful, excellent, significant raises for our teachers and our state employees when we passed our House budget. This bill before you is exactly the same salary package that we passed before. It also includes additional law enforcement raises and bonuses, including local law enforcement for our local law enforcement officers. So this is what the Senate passed over to us, and we have increased it. So what this bill does is it, again, just solidifies our continuing support for our excellent salary package that, as you know, for teachers, it gave across-the-board raises for our teachers and placed North Carolina with a significant starting teacher raise as number one in the Southeast for teachers pay. We also increased our state employee pay 2.5%, which was actually better than the Senate and what the governor proposed in his budget. So I know we all are very proud of that. This is a bipartisan initiative. And what this bill does is it just states that these salary increases are contingent upon the General Assembly passing a current Operations Appropriations Act. And I know that we all want that and are waiting on the Senate, of course, to come to the table for a comprehensive budget negotiation so we can get that done. So I appreciate your support. Please vote green. If you have any questions, happy to answer it. Thank you.
For what purposes, Lady from Bunker, Representative Prather will rise.
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. These raises are awesome. I love seeing this partial list of people in our state who deserve more pay and more support. People who keep our state running, teachers, law enforcement, school staff. But it doesn't go into effect until we pass the state budget. So this bill is literally just posturing. It means nothing. We are seemingly no closer to passing a state budget than we were on June 30th. But you don't seem to care. You've already been out there bragging about voting to restore the tax-free weekend and voting to restore teacher pay. Those never passed the Senate. They didn't become law. We know you're going to brag about state employee raises when you pass this bill out of this chamber, but you don't actually care about whether it's going to become law. You're going to get credit either way. You know our correctional officers are the worst paid in the region? Our correctional officers. We should want good, well-paid people in those positions. Our state is wasting money when we hire people for these jobs. We don't give them the support and money that they need. They're really hard jobs that people don't want unless they're getting paid well. And then we have to re-interview and rehire every year or so because they're cycling out. It's literally losing us money. So yes, everyone in this bill needs raises. No, this bill won't actually make that happen.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, rise.
To speak to the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
First, I'd just like to thank Representative Perret for bringing this forward and helping us send a clear message. This body has passed a budget that we are happy to stand on. We do call on our Senate counterparts to pass that budget to make these and all employees across the state whole. You know, our teachers in Union County and the teachers across this state deserve that. Not just our teachers, our state employees, those in correctional facilities across the board. I mean, our state employees and everyone within the government deserves the raises and the impact that our budget would have put forward for this state. We do call on the Senate to continue to look at this and to pass this as quickly as possible. This body has passed a budget that we were all proud of in a bipartisan fashion. So let's stop misleading the public that we haven't passed a budget out of this body. We have done our work, and we call on the Senate now to do theirs. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jones, rise?
To ask a question, I guess, Ms. Perret, or whoever's,
Is there anything in here for the state retirees?
Representative Perret, the lady yielded that question.
I'll yield.
He yields.
I think I heard your question. It was about state retirees. Yes, that was the last amendment that we added to the bill to bring it in line with what we initially passed, and it's
2%. 2%. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
So it's 1% and then 2% in the next year.
What purpose, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Budd, rise?
Speak to the bill.
That is recognized to debate the bill.
I just want to reiterate that these pay raises look great, and they look like a big shiny gold star that we should all receive because everyone should vote for these. But they don't actually become law until we have a budget, and we are now in excess of 114 days overdue with absolutely no budget on the horizon until after the March primary, because that's what someone in the other chamber would like us to do so he can win his election. Thank you.
What purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, arrive?
So, Bill, leader, a question, please.
Representative Praise, the lady yield.
I yield.
Yield.
This may require us talking offline, but I wanted to point out, and maybe you do have a response or anybody that can speak to it, how our tax package, which is one of the reasons I voted for that budget, is going to be impacted. I mean, how is this going to be impacted unless our tax package is included in the final budget whenever we get it?
Well, I can't see into the, Mr. Speaker, I can't see into the future, but you will see in this bill that this is contingent, this becoming law is contingent on passing a budget. So that would be part of that comprehensive budget negotiation that we are all waiting on. And at the House, we wanted to pass a budget last June, as you probably know. Yes. So that is contingent on that. I know it may not answer your question, but that's the best I can do.
I just wanted to be on the, Mr. Speaker, follow up.
Lady recognized for follow-up question.
I just wanted to be, to state my support for what you're proposing and we are proposing in this piece of legislation and my support for our tax package. As I said, it's one of the reasons I voted for the budget, and I am still praying and hoping that somehow we will, in negotiation, find that to be what is done. So thank you.
What purpose, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, rise?
Maybe just add a couple comments to the debate.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
You know, we actually do have a very good budget, and there's actually some aspects of the Senate budget that's actually a very good budget. And the normal process is for us to come together and try to work out the differences and include the governor and his office in some of those discussions. It's no secret that we are stumbling over the revenue side. The Senate would like to talk about the expense side, and we would like to talk about the revenue side. And that's why we are where we are today. We cannot come together on the revenue side, which is critical that we resolve first so that we know how much money then we have to spend. And again, Senate would like to talk about the spending side, and we would like to talk about the revenue side. So that's why we can't get done a comprehensive budget. The budget, for the most part, is agreed to. Many aspects of what's in that budget is okay, and we don't have any debate over it. But until we can come together, and I can tell you, and this is what I tell people that challenge me, we could have a budget next week, but none of us probably would like that budget. We could agree on the tax cuts, and we could scale back spending. But I'm here to tell you that we are fighting for the House budget, and we're taking a lot of criticism. I'm personally taking a lot of criticism. I feel an obligation to get a budget done. That's why I'm here, is to get a budget done. We've always been able to get a budget done. But here we are going towards the end of October, and I'm fine with the criticism because we deserve it. If we can't get a budget done, and we need to be talking, and we need to get done what we came here to do. So anything you can do, whether that's saying an extra prayer, whether that's a word of encouragement for those people that are in that conference committee working, we've got to move this process along. And our hope is, and why this bill is important, is to show not only the Senate, but to show the people of North Carolina, this was our commitment to those people. We have to take care of our employees. We cannot feel proud about South Carolina paying $50,000 for a beginning teacher, and we pay $41,000. Nobody can feel good about that. We should be embarrassed by that. So we've got to fix the salary problem. And so we are fighting to do that. And while we are taking a lot of criticism, I would encourage you, talk about the revenue side. I think we all would like some degree of tax cuts. I want to see some tax cuts. I would be pleased to have some in our final budget. But we cannot cut taxes and then hope that revenue will be enough to cover our expenses. We have to be smart about this, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, Purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Rubin, right?
To speak to the bill.
Gentleman recognized to debate the bill.
I feel a good degree of human sympathy for the fight that you're having, and I'm grateful to you, Representative Lambeth, and everyone who's fighting on the revenue side of this. I think if we don't fix that, it's disaster. And so I am genuinely grateful for that. I have to say, though, right, that we're back, it's gerrymandering day, right? You have a supermajority in the Senate, a strong majority in the House. And so while I genuinely am grateful, the fact is you wrote the map so that you're in charge no matter how the voters vote. And in the private sector jobs I've worked, in the public sector jobs I've worked, there is no substitute for results. And the people, I know people, we get, and I've done this too, people in this building get really focused on like the procedural and the hyper-technical. But the fact is, for a teacher, they're going to know they got a raise when they see it in their paycheck. And until then, any bill we pass doesn't mean anything. I'm going to vote for this bill. I'm 100% in favor of the raises that are in this. I think some of them are exceptional. I'm really glad about it. I think it's 13% for correctional officers. I think those things are great, but at the end of the day, they're not seeing them until we get this done. And respectfully, the automatic triggers that were passed into law by this body should never have been passed into law, because it has given a Senate that doesn't seem to care about this a huge upper hand in negotiations, because all they have to do to win is nothing. And, you know, I wish you had a stronger hand in negotiations than the bill that is law right now. I hope we can take that going forward. You know, I'm also for lowering taxes, but I will say this. I'm for people having the most money in their pocket. Sometimes that comes in the form of income tax reductions, but if your income tax reductions lead to property tax increases, you know, taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other, you know, I think, again, results are what people are looking for from this body. And so I think we should find a way to run this government that keeps the most money in people's pockets for real. And until then, people aren't going to accept that we passed one bill and the Senate passed another. Again, I say that all respectfully and with huge respect for the work that you're doing. And I understand the pressure that you're under. And thank you for fighting on the revenue. It's a fight we need to be having. Thank you.
Further discussion or debate? Seeing none, the question for the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 599 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote.
Judge says it's time to stand up.
Wick, aye. Clerk will watch machine record the vote. 110 having voted the affirmative and none in the negative. The House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 599 having passed its second reading. Read a third time.
The General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
As for the House, is the passage of the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 599 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. And the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 599, having passed its third reading, will be ordered sent to the Senate. For what purpose, the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, arise? Representative Dahl, lady has your light on. Okay, members, we'll go back to the last bill that's on the calendar today. Mr. Clerk, Senate Bill 378. That bill's before the body. Representative Von Haven, as to your point of order, Chair reviewed our amended adjournment resolution. That's part of the reason that the adjournment resolution is amended, to allow us to take up things like budgetary items or things dealing with Medicaid. And the chair's ruling would be that this particular bill deals with both of those things. And so that will be the chair's ruling. But lady wished to debate the bill.
I wish to appeal the ruling of the chair.
The lady has a right to appeal the ruling of the chair on that matter. Just one.
I'm sorry?
And the appeal is debatable.
Okay. Under our current joint amendment, joint resolution, this bill does not fit in any of the categories of our joint amendment resolution or joint adjournment resolution that we passed several months ago. It also does not fit in with the amended resolution that we just passed today. The language of the resolution that we passed today says that the issues have to be regarding the Medicaid rebase or with budgetary matters. Senate Bill 378 does not fit into any of those categories. I strongly object to this bill being considered today. It is not fit within the adjournment resolution in any definition of any of those items.
Further discussion debate on the appeal. What purpose? The gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, arise.
Speak on the appeal.
Gentleman's recognized. Do you speak to the appeal?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker and members. The Speaker appropriately put to the body his ruling, and I ask that you uphold the Speaker's ruling by voting red.
For what purpose? Lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, arise.
Question of the rules, Chair.
Does the gentleman yield to a question? He doesn't yield. Further discussion or debate on the appeal? Seeing none, the question before the House is, should the member's appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? All those in favor of Representative Von Hafen's appeal will vote aye. All those who are opposed to the appeal will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will light machine and record the vote. 47 have voted in the affirmative and 61 in the negative. The appeal fails for lack of having 3/5 of the members present and voting. For what purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen, arise?
I'd like to debate the bill.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
First, I'd just like to say that we are improperly considering this bill today. It does not fit within the adjournment resolution, and we are violating every rule of the House right now, but I'll go ahead and debate the bill. This morning, we passed a bill which was requested by President Trump, a redistricting bill in which the bill sponsors readily admitted that it was done to push the MAGA agenda by maintaining control.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Gentleman's recognized for point of order.
Would the representative please stick to the legislation at hand, not previous pieces of legislation?
Chair would ask the lady to stick to the issue at hand, the bill before the body. Lady continues to have the floor.
Now we are voting on another bill to appease the Trump administration at the expense of North Carolinians.
Mr. Speaker, point of order.
Gentleman may state his point of order.
Would the lady please stick to the legislation at hand, not making comments about the President of the United States, whereas she owned the legislation at hand, and she needs to stick to the legislation at hand, not read from a sheet on private and personal talking points.
The chair would just simply ask members to stick to the bill that's being presented at the time, Senate Bill 378, the issues therein. The lady continues to have the floor.
I'm sorry, I prepared my remarks and I'm reading them. Thank you. Americans are losing their freedoms and North Carolinians are losing affordable health care. This is about dismantling Medicaid expansion and taking away health care from North Carolinians. If Senate Bill 378 passes, North Carolinians who depend on Medicaid will lose access to affordable reproductive health care, including access to birth control, cancer screenings, and treatment for STIs. Cancers will go undetected, STIs will go untreated, and people won't be able to get the birth control that they need to plan their families and their futures. I believe in liberty, and liberty starts with our bodies and our health. Every North Carolinian should be able to choose their medical provider and access affordable health care. This body put those values into law just 2 years ago when we finally passed Medicaid expansion. Now Medicaid expansion is under threat thanks to the Trump administration pushing unprecedented cuts to health care, including Medicaid, so that billionaires can get more tax breaks. North Carolinian health care is more important than making the ultra-rich even richer. North Carolinians' access to birth control, cancer screenings, and treatment is more important than political points, because that's what this bill is. A foolish political shot that harms North Carolinians by blocking Medicaid reimbursement for routine health care. people who depend on the Medicaid program to get affordable and essential health care will be blocked from using their insurance to pay for this preventative care at Planned Parenthood. We should be here passing a state budget that fully funds a Medicaid rebase. Instead, we are taking further steps to deprive some of the most vulnerable people in our state of access to birth control, screenings, and treatment. North Carolinians put us here to help them, and Senate Bill 378 does the opposite. It hurts women and the most vulnerable citizens in our state. I urge you to vote no.
What purpose? The lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Butter, rise.
To speak to the bill.
Ladies recognized to debate the bill.
Again, I want to clarify. Since 1976, it was called the Hyde Amendment. Medicaid funds may not be used for abortion care. That has been the law since 1976. It's time for the General Assembly to start being honest with North Carolinians about the facts instead of attempting to gaslight and use headline-grabbing statements about what we're doing in an effort to push a legislative agenda. At the end of the day, you're gutting women's health care. It's the access points. It's the affordability for breast cancer, birth control, answers about what a good, solid, steady, loving relationship looks like. It's about interfering with a woman and her doctor and getting answers so we can live our very best life and up to our potential. We're not servicing North Carolinians. If you really cared, remove the funding from Planned Parenthood, but you'd be replacing it with an equal to or better system and plan and facilities and access. But we're not. This is not for any other agenda item than to appeal to an extremist base. Both parties do it, but in this instance, we're doing it for the Republicans. Let's not use women to service a political agenda. We are 50% or more of your voting population. We deserve that respect with our own health care. So let's be honest with the facts. Medicaid funding is by law barred from being used for providing abortion care at Planned Parenthood healthcare facilities. That's the fact. Get the facts first, then distort them how you please, as Mark Twain once famously told us.
What purpose? Lady from Wake, Representative Savanya, rise.
To debate the bill a second time.
Ladies recognize to debate the bill.
So for us who were here last biennium, and then those who are new here, I'm glad Representative Bud mentioned Hyde, but we also have what was SB 20, which was care for women, children, and families, which is now Session Law 2023-14, which explicitly said, and maybe people didn't remember because there was many pages on that bill, and we decided on it late at night, that Medicaid in North Carolina will not cover elected abortions. The state law reinforces that state-funded funds may not extend expanded abortion coverage. And then essentially, North Carolina statute explicitly bans state funding for abortion care. So I want people to level set on that. That is not what they're doing. And the billing codes that they use for Medicaid are for family planning. I want to let you all know family planning is not just contraception, because some people don't believe in that either. It also includes discussing healthy relationships when it comes to having children or not. It also could actually include abstinence when maybe a young girl doesn't quite know what to do in a relationship that she has. There's a lot of health education that's being done at Planned Parenthood, not just the narrative of abortion. So please, let's tell people the truth. And please, let's not take away services that are vastly helping so many of our people that we serve. And please vote no on this bill.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to speak to the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, and I want to join my colleagues in speaking to this because, you know, the federal court decisions and congressional acts have already suspended, you know, this. And so we don't necessarily have to add on to it. It feels a little bit, you know, like political posturing and playing to bases and working to mislead North Carolinians about what we know is absolutely critical. That the impact and the intensification on women's healthcare access, it's pretty critical. You're putting a lot of people in danger by sensationalizing this type of with this type of bill. And the thing that I want to make sure that you hear from a different voice is the consequences that extend to crucial preventative services like cancer screening, STI screening, contraception. The thousands of patients that they serve around the state. Lots of healthcare providers warn this will lead to wait times, delayed diagnoses, and worse health outcomes. And so none of us want that. People have issue with Planned Parenthood politically. And we already understand that Medicaid doesn't fund abortions. And so the access to women's health care is just not something to politicize. And I just want to get up and say that pretty clearly. And I know it may score your point when you're at the next party event or, you know, out on the stump, but there are real women behind these services that in so many ways don't have access to be able to afford it. Unless they live in an area like the Triangle or Charlotte. And so there are people who are moving around, coming to these places because this is their last place, of resort. And so, particularly in underserved populations and rural communities, and I know that there are none in those areas, but they move around the state to find, this care. And so I just want to make sure that, we understand, and because I hadn't heard it, that there are people behind these decisions. And we don't want someone to be misdiagnosed, underdiagnosed, and we don't want our health system to have to pay even higher prices because someone didn't get the preventative care that they needed. And so I just wanted to join the chorus of women who have bravely stood up to talk about this issue and just let you know that I hope that as we move forward, we do not politicize anything about someone's health care, be it yourselves or the women across North Carolina. Thank you.
What purpose is the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, arise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman's recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Notwithstanding my personal views on abortion and the political activities of Planned Parenthood, I want to amplify just a few thoughts that one was just expressed by Representative Hawkins and another by Representative Budd. I live in Greensboro, an urban population, and a lot of women depend on these preventative measures, these preventative treatments that they receive. And as Representative Budd said, if we were replacing this with something else, then I certainly could better understand and possibly vote for this. But with the uncertainty of Medicaid that we already have, and with fewer and fewer providers accepting Medicaid already, I think this creates a healthcare desert that is unnecessary, and it puts a strain and a stress on population of women who need to be supported and not ostracized in this way. So I'll be voting no for those reasons. Thank you.
Question for the House is the passage of Senate Bill 378, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 378 on second reading. All those in favor will vote aye. All those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Dahl, no. Clerk will lock machine and record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative and 47 in the negative. The bill is passed the second reading. We read a third time.
The General Assembly in North Carolina enacts.
But for the House is the passage of the House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 378 on its third reading. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House Committee Substitute Senate Bill 378, having passed its third reading, will be ordered sent to the Senate. Members, that's it for today's calendar. A couple of housekeeping matters. Chair appoints Representative John Lowry to the following standing committees: Agriculture and Environment, Emergency Management and Disaster Recovery, Federal Relations and American Indian Affairs as Vice Chair, Finance and Pensions and Retirements. Also, Representative Clampett wishes to be court as having voted no on the one appeal of the chair's ruling that we took up today. And with that, notices and announcements. For what purpose? The gentleman from Gaston, Representative Loftus, rise.
For a moment of personal privilege, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized for a point of personal privilege.
I just wanted to say thank you to the body, both sides of the aisle. The recent passing of my older brother after a 13-year battle with Agent Orange. We had time to say goodbye as brothers, and then family had time to say goodbye. So we know where he's at, and we hope one day to see him very soon. But for those who called or sent text messages, wrote notes and letters, and your thoughts and prayers, thank you so much for having compassion. And during this time, I really appreciate and recognize the closeness we do have at those times as a body. So thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Lopez, rise.
A question of privilege.
Gentleman's recognized for a question of privilege.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, earlier this afternoon, you quieted some of the protesters in the gallery, noting that when they speak out, they silence the voices of the 90,000 people each of us represents. About 30 minutes later, you cut off the voices of dozens of members of my caucus, silencing millions of voices that we collectively represent. My question to you is, do you find it appropriate as the leader of this body to impose an arbitrary deadline for debate that violates the right of each of our members to effectively speak on behalf of our constituents?
Well, no, I don't impose arbitrary deadlines. I impose the rules that the gentleman, I think, actually voted for. Gentlemen, we may want to take some time to read those rules, including the ability for us to call a point of a motion for the previous question, which is what happened, and we followed our rules in doing so. And the body had probably over an hour to debate the bill. It's an issue that has been well debated in this body for a long time, and you know, it's not uncommon for a debate to be cut short to some degree, even though we had an hour-long debate in here. So I don't think it's me arbitrarily doing anything. It's me simply following the rules that this body adopted and that this body voted to hear the previous question on. For what purpose, Gentleman Cabarrus, Representative Campbell, arise.
Brief moment of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope the body will join me in giving condolences to the families of Larry Williams from my district. Larry Williams was a lifetime servant of North Carolina in the State Highway Patrol. He passed away last week and leaves behind a mourning family, and he's a dear, close family friend. So we just wanted to pass along our condolences to Larry Williams. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, General from Onslow, Representative Gable, arise.
For a point of personal privilege.
Gentleman recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So my seatmate has had multiple chances this session to take a jab at me in a lighthearted way, so I finally get to return the favor to him. His birthday is this Friday, and I'm going to take two jabs at him. The first one we're still working on. He still says Eastern Carolina instead of East Carolina, but we're working on that one. And the second is he always eats my snacks, but we took care of that today. We got him about 5 pounds of Reese cups. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say happy birthday to my seatmate.
What purpose does the gentleman from Person, Representative Jeffers, arise?
A moment of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just rise today to hopefully my wife is watching so I can let her know about the great decision she made about 14 years ago to marry me. As my colleagues can attest, I'm a very easy person to get along with. Great humor. Just a good person all around to be around. And she knew that about 14 years ago. So I just want to say happy anniversary to her. Thank you.
I'm sure some of your colleagues will give that video to the lucky lady back home, and she'll enjoy those comments as well. Members, we have to do some ratifications and bills for resolutions. Clerk will read.
Enrolled bills, October 22nd, 2025. The enrolling clerk reports the following bill duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. Senate Bill 249, an act to realign the North Carolina congressional districts.
Members, we'll go back to notices and announcements now. For what purpose? The gentleman from Alamance, Representative Verdell, rise.
For an announcement.
The gentleman is recognized for an announcement.
Friends, yesterday I announced the formation of the Chantal Caucus and mentioned that we had an opening for vice chairman that has been willingly filled by Alan Bronsey. I'm glad to have him in that position, sharing the co-chair responsibilities for the Chantal Caucus. Thank you.
Well, purpose, the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, arise.
For a moment of personal privilege.
That was recognized for a point of personal privilege.
I would be in trouble if I didn't also mention this. Last Friday, me and my wife celebrated our 33rd anniversary. I know a lot of y'all are over there going, no way somebody's that determined, but she is. It's a good woman. That's all I can say. Thank you, Lord.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Adams, arise.
Point of personal privilege.
Gentleman's recognized for a point of personal privilege.
I swore to my wife last night I wasn't going to do this, and thanks to Representative McNeely and Representative Jeffries, they've shamed me into it. October's a special month for my wife and I. My birthday managed to escape notice by the caucus earlier this month, thank the Lord. And her birthday is the end of the month, and we also celebrated our 29th wedding anniversary of complete bliss with her. So anyway, I told you, honey, I wasn't going to do it, but I know you're watching, so there you go.
Further notices or announcements? Seeing none, members, by way of schedule, there will be no recorded votes tomorrow. Be on the lookout in your email inboxes for the November session. Right now, though, the chair does not anticipate there being any recorded votes in the House for the remainder of this year. But what's your email? That's subject to change. Further notices or announcements? Seeing none, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House to now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, October 23rd at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Bell moves, seconded by Representative Cotham, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, October 23rd at 10:30 a.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1. All those in favor will say aye. All those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the House is now adjourned.
Following bills are removed from the calendar of the 23rd of October and placed on the calendar of November 17th. House Bill 87. Again, the following bills are removed from the calendar of the 23rd of October and placed upon the calendar of November 17th. They are House Bill 87, Educational Choice for Children Act, ECCA, House Bill 171, Equality in State Agencies, Prohibition on Diversity, Equity and Inclusion, DEI, Senate Bill 50, Britt Daniel, Freedom to Carry, North Carolina, Senate Bill 153, North Carolina Border Protection Act. Senate Bill 227, Eliminating Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, DEI, in Public Education. Senate Bill 558, Eliminating Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion in Public Higher Education. Check the bills will be noted.